author of A Week on Radio Gorgeous.
Lucy Whitehouse, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you for having me.
We are here on occasion of the publication of your fourth novel, Keep You Close.
Yes.
Tell us the story.
The story begins with the death of one of two girls who became friends when they were teenagers, now are in their early 30s. The one who dies has made a career for herself as an up-and-coming and very promising young artist. But she hasn't spoken to her best friend, formerly her best friend, for 10 years. But she and her family meant an enormous amount to my protagonist. And so she knows that when she suspects that the death isn't the straightforward accident that the police seem to believe, she has to investigate. And it brings her back to Oxford, where the book is set, and takes the lid off a whole can of worms.
I have to say, you tricked me. You're very tricksy.
Oh, good. That is a big compliment for me. I'm so glad. And actually, I think of my books, this is the one that seems to have managed to shake most people off the trail of what's actually going on, which I am finding very satisfying.
It's very twisty and turny as we journey back. The protagonist is Rowan Winter, mm-hmm. And she has been close to the whole Glass family.
She has.
So there's Marion, who was her best friend, mm-hmm. Who dies in mysterious circumstances, perhaps accidental, perhaps not accidental. Mm-hmm. Rowan thinks not accidental. There's her brother Adam, and her parents, Jacqueline and Seb, who she was mm-hmm. very close to.
Yes.
And she seems to have been, as you go back in time to meet them and the family and see why they were so important to Rowan, they sort of adopted her.
They did. She lost her mother when she was only 18 months old, and her father, who works away, is very distant and found himself in a situation that he couldn't really emotionally handle. So she was, as a 15-year-old girl, maybe not wittingly, but certainly unconsciously in search of a family, and in her best friend's family she found them and loved them for the support they gave her, but also for a glimpse into a bigger, exciting intellectual world that she wanted to be part of.
Yeah, because they were a very glamorous family.
They are very glamorous in a kind of slightly disheveled Oxford mm-hmm. way, sort of dusty chaos but innate glamour. It's a kind of world that I've always loved looking at. So yes, definitely not Kardashian glamorous, but boho glamorous, and a lot of fun, very generous, just expansive. And I think she really feels that sense of expansion in her horizons and her heart, I think, when she meets the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've all seen those people. We fall in love with the whole family.
Mm. I've got a friend like that. Yeah.
You know, it's like, and they appear to have it all. But like most things, that's, an appearance, in mm-hmm. some ways. In some ways it's real, and in some ways, just like everybody else, they have their problems. And we go back in time, because one of the things that's important in the story is that they are no longer close.
No, indeed not. They had an argument when they were 22 and haven't spoken since, so it's 10 years just over. And what that argument consists of is revealed slowly through the course of the book. It's difficult to talk about with, mm-hmm. without giving
yes,
too
exactly.
much
it's
away.
But, and I don't want to give anything away, because each reveal and each twist and turn is quite exciting when it happens. And you're, down a certain culvert, and then you have to backtrack. You're like, oh my God, no, I'm looking at that with new eyes. And the circumstances of their argument is one of those.
Radio Gorgeous, the place to find authors.
There's another artist that Marion has come close to, and he's painting her portrait.
Yes, Michael Corey.
Yeah, and he seems like, he's he's another one of those characters, okay, that either we hear about or you do know, like the egotistical, obsessive artist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, who would throw other people under the bus if it meant that if he could, well, he wouldn't even, or so you think, wouldn't think twice about hurting somebody for the sake of his art.
Mm-hmm. There are those rock star artists.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there are some authors who were in that same, you know, like, my art is everything.
Yes, exactly. I'm sorry that I'm going to expose my family brutally.
Yes, exactly. Mm-mm. Yes. Yeah, like Narsgaard.
But I'm not
just
really.
Write all about you guys. You know? And it's for art, you know, regardless of the people smeared along the side of your success.
Exactly.
But yeah, and he's. But I did think it, you seem to be, in a lot of these characters, one, Rowan, because we really like her. She's the protagonist, so we you know, we necessarily like her, you know, because. She's who we know. We see the story through
her eyes.
So we're necessarily going to be sympathetic towards her. And she does seem to have an inability to let anybody in her life go.
Mm.
Except for her father.
Yes, she's fine for her father to go. She does. I think because of her childhood, she has a difficulty making proper connections with people. Or she certainly has no ease about it. She doesn't find it at all natural to make friends with people and properly. And she is a lonely person, but she's also clever and she observes from the outside. And I think she's somebody who is not so comfortable in her own skin. I think she has confidence issues. She wouldn't necessarily believe that, you know, people would seek her out for her own sake because her father never did. And she is damaged by that, I think. Mm. Why the Glass family was so important to her. She saw them as a different way.
She really embodies that idea that I think is at the heart of most people's insecurities, and even if they seem confident and bombastic, like, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me.
Yes, exactly. I think that is it. And quite often the people who seem the most confident are the ones who are hiding the biggest store of that feeling.
My weekday fix? Darling, it has to be Radio Gorgeous.
This book isn't certainly off topic for you, you know, or, you know, in terms of genre. What draws you to the darker side and the sort of psychologically creepy, scary side of life?
I don't know.
You don't seem like that yourself. You don't seem that creepy.
No, I'm not. It's funny. Somebody said that to me before. A friend of mine, whose family I am very fond of, her dad, who is a brilliant character, said when I sent him a proof of my first book, and he said, "Lucy, I expected comedy, and I got tragedy." I don't know what it is. I've always had a taste for the gothic. I like darkness. I'm intrigued by darkness. I'm particularly interested in why people do terrible things that most people would shy away from doing, or would perhaps like to do, but are restrained from by a sense of morality. I think a lot of the books that I loved as a child growing up were dark. I love Daphne du Maurier. I was just been talking about Susan Cooper, her Dark is Rising series, and just love those. Arthurian legend. I like the mix of light and dark. I find it fascinating. And intrigue and just secrets and people with problems. I love, the older I get, the more and more fascinated I am by the people I meet and sort of solving them. Not that I think you ever can, but I like to watch people and try and work out what they're about.
And where did Rowan come from?
She is a difficult one. Partly she's me, I think. Mm. I am lucky and have had wonderful parents. I still have a wonderful mother. My father sadly has died. But they were both loving and incredibly supportive. So that is not Rowan at all. But I think probably part of being a writer is being a watcher. So that part of her I recognise. And I come from a family. My father had an engineering business and did all the way through his life. I didn't come from a vastly bookish family, although my parents are big readers and took us to the library all the time. But I was fascinated by bookish families. So I think that part of Rowan is me too. There are lots of bits of Rowan that are not me. But those bits are. I had a lot of fun writing her. I really did. And she was probably the character that I've most enjoyed writing. But of the books that I have written so far, I think this as a whole is my favourite from the point of view of characters. There's a lot of people in this book that I now miss. Now I finished writing it, and particularly Peter Turk, actually, who's the one-hit wonder, who long was in love with Marianne and is absolutely huge, but has a rather effeminate dress style, so he always looks slightly pantomimish. And
it sort of reminded me of Russell Brand.
Actually, yes, yeah, exactly. I hadn't thought of Russell Brand. Mm. People keep saying, "Is he based on?" Who's that? Adamant, Noel Fielding, yes. Very much that type. With shorter hair, I imagine him, yeah. But otherwise, yes, exactly. Mm. Very much that type.
He was an interesting character because there's always that moment, you know, everyone, in Google searches and things are all made up of where are they now type of things. And you do think about, like, yeah, that person who, you know, was amazing, but then the second album never happened, and, you know, they're an artistic person, and maybe they, you know, they also thought it was going to last forever. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know. And then how do you deal with it if you're washed up at the age of 28?
When
you've still got pretty much all of your adult life and career to work out what to do with, but perhaps your biggest success is already behind you, and... I think, would be quite a hard thing to reckon with, and it would be interesting.
That's why us late bloomers, it's fabulous. It's all to play for.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Thank so waiting. God. Close to you.
Radio Gorgeous, created by women for women. RadioGorgeous.com.